Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, the Gospel of Luke loves to remind us of the big picture of things. You may recall that last Sunday, the ministry, the person of John the Baptist was introduced with a report of the larger picture, namely, the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, and then the names of governors and tetrarchs and high priests, almost as if to insist that John needed to be understood on the world scene in the larger geopolitical context, that he was at least as important as they are, and that he was a figure to be reckoned with. So Luke puts him in the context of the world scene. He writes his gospel with a certain literary elegance for educated people. It's not like Mark, who proceeds to breathlessly give an account of one thing after another, immediately this, immediately that. No, no. Luke is much more reserved because he has this big picture in mind always. He doesn't shrink from the fact that there are always crowds present. Every time something happens, there are crowds present, and they're present to give glory to God, to be surprised with wonder, not just to hide away and pray. And at the end of the gospel, Luke makes a point of making sure that everybody knows those disciples were sent out to Jerusalem, to Samaria, to the end of the world. I say all of this by way of background for this Sunday's gospel. You heard a moment ago, Luke deals with the crowds. To the whole crowd, he says, everyone, by way of repentance, should be generous, sharing clothes with those in need and food with those who are hungry. But then he breaks down the crowd. And that's very fascinating, because his choices are unexpected, if you think about it. First of all, he spoke to tax collectors, people who proverbially were despised, because they worked for the hated Roman occupiers without any scruple. There weren't measurements as to how much taxes they should collect. If they were at caravan points, the scoop went into the grain once, twice, who knows how much. For the Roman government, yes, but then for themselves. And if they had kids in college, or if they had a heavy mortgage payment, or if they needed a new chariot, well, then another one. No one was there to correct that, and the soldiers were there just to make sure that the tax collectors took what they wanted. So he speaks to tax collectors and says, just be just. He doesn't say stop collecting taxes in the Roman system. He says be just, be measured, be fair, be equitable. And then there were the soldiers. Initially, I suppose at the edge of the crowd, they were the police of the world, first century, at the edge of the crowd for crowd control, but then I can imagine them, their ears perking up as John talks to different groups of people. And then finally asking, well, what about us? What about us? And John doesn't tell them, stop being a soldier. Even though early Christians were forbidden to be soldiers in the Roman army because of the idolatry that was inherent in that profession, where you were expected to offer sacrifice to the god of war and to offer sacrifice to the goddess Roma. He just says, be good soldiers. Be respectful. No extortion. No false accusations. He didn't say don't be soldiers. Even don't be Roman soldiers. Just be good ones. So it strikes me that today, this Sunday, with this reading, it's a perfect time to take a look at every single profession or occupation. Whatever we do by way of making a living, making some kind of contribution to the larger society to which the gospel is sent, whatever we do inevitably has its own occupational hazards. It has its own moral temptations that need to be recognized for what they are and confronted, dealt with and eliminated. A few years ago, I was up in Fond du Lac County, western Fond du Lac County, little parish. Woodhull was the name, as a matter of fact. And I was there for a weekend visit. Parish council meeting. At the end of the parish council meeting, I said to the folks gathered, I can't go home without asking this question. I'll regret it. So I have to ask this question. Recognizing as I did that Woodhull is just a little ways away from Fox Lake and Waupun, where all the prisons are. So I said, do many of your people work in the prisons? And they said, oh yeah, a lot of them. I said, is that easy work? They said, no, it's awful. And so I said, well, what do you do here in this parish to help them do their work well without being affected by the atmosphere within which they work, either as guards or administrators, whatever? What do you do to help them do that well by way of mutual support and encouragement so that they would be good prison guards? And what do you do to help them deal with that temptation to see the criminality of it all and the harshness and become like the atmosphere in which they work? What do you do about that? Well, they hadn't thought about that. But it seems appropriate for this Sunday's gospel. Or again, yesterday, just as a matter of fact, yesterday I was with a group, one of whom is a family court commissioner down in Racine, who said she works with some of the most difficult, painful situations, dysfunctional families, really messy human lives. And she said, I have to work very hard every day to always see the goodness, to look for the goodness that's in the life, the core of every single person for whom, with whom I work. Because if I forget that radical goodness, I will easily become, she said, I will easily become bitter and burnt out. And so if I every day come and say, I'm there to look for the goodness and see what I can do to bring it out, that's what she needs to do. Well, it's a time, I think, to look at all the professions. Policemen and women. They see the underside of society so often, and it's difficult, I think, to avoid becoming cynical and callous and rough and disrespectful of the people that they're dealing with. On occasion, when I have the Mass for St. Jude's Mass, patron of firefighters and police, I will talk about the need to be careful about that callousness or cynicism that can so easily come in that profession, and to be careful about it. And I remember any number of times a spouse will come and say, thank you for saying that. It's really important to keep that in mind. We have to keep it in mind, so do our spouses, because it's a tough job. And it's to make the society better. And it's so easy to forget that we're dealing with images of God. Salespeople. How the temptation to sell something to people who don't need it or can't afford it. And especially the temptation if in this economic time your life depends, your salary depends on commission. So how easy it is to say, one more, just think about buying this. That's a temptation. Whatever the profession, name it, look in the mirror, whatever it is, what's the temptation? Priests and bishops have to be careful about running empty, about going from one place to another, asked to say this, talk here, talk there, without the time to prepare for it, and then have nothing to say, really. Or have to be careful about developing a sense of entitlement and presuming that we should always get a discount, invoking the freedom from sales tax, even when it's personal and not communal, ecclesial. We have to be careful about that. Physicians, nurses, always under pressure to see as many people as possible in the course of the day. My primary physician tells me he stays longer every day so that he can see the required number but spend time with each one, because he said that's why I became a doctor. Teachers. If a teacher ever stops really caring about the students, even the most difficult ones, the problematic ones, to try to understand that the issue of whatever conduct occurs in the classroom or the learning situation is sometimes not the issue, that there's something else going on, not to be soft or without discipline, because you're there to learn. But if a teacher ever stops that sense, they're like salt that's lost its savor. Or a student, grade school, high school, says, well, what about us? What should we do? Well, be curious. Be open to learn. But don't think you know it all, because you don't. None of us do. And so how can you help others who are struggling to learn as well as you? And if you're retired, well, what's the focus of your life? What is it that you do in retirement? And how do you do that well? This is what the gospel asks. Retired? Well, what do you do? What about us? Do it well, whatever it is. The mystery of Advent, it's a wonderful season, as I said last week, but it's very different from Lent. There's an outreach, a sense of the larger world. And the beauty of darkness that we celebrate in Advent is filled with expectation, with reaching out to something bigger and more wonderful. And the invitation is always to see that bigger world. And this is the work of the church, to praise God by transforming the whole world, which is why Luke had to write Acts of the Apostles, if I can say it that way, because he had to talk about the church reaching out, transforming the world from Jerusalem to Samaria to the ends of the earth. And St. Paul, when he arrived in Rome under house arrest, he was in the house, but talking to people in Rome in the center of that whole world, and talking about the kingdom of God confidently, candidly. That's why Luke wrote that, because that's the expansion, the development, the rest of the story. Hanukkah, which began Friday night in the Jewish community. There was a delightful article in yesterday morning's paper about the invitation to tzedakah, translated as charity. That's not quite correct, I don't think, because it's justice, but it's a certain kind of justice. It's biblical justice, which tries to put the whole world in right relationship. That's Hanukkah. But it's a feast of the rededication of the temple after the Greeks had been thrown out and Israel was reestablished as a people of praise and work. I smiled. Friday morning, there was a ribbon ad across the bottom, again, the paper. Advent is a time to read the paper. There was a ribbon across the bottom of the local section, and it said simply, in reference to the red kettles of Salvation Army, when you put money in our kettle, expect change. Expect change. The larger world. This is the mystery of Advent. So every single one of us, no exclusions, have to stand before John the Baptist and say, well, what about us? What should we do? And the whole world is somehow transformed if we not only ask, but listen. Gospel of the Lord.